Welcome to the DrDavidMarlin.com Stable Science Podcast. I'm Dr. David Marlin, and along with a great team of experts, I'm helping horse owners and riders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. In these podcasts, we will discuss science-led research, technology, information, and advice to help you care for your horses so they may live healthier, happier, and longer lives. To support the podcast and all our research and science for horses, go to our website, www.drdavidmarlin.com. And to learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, so this is a short webinar on a cold therapy or cryotherapy. And ice cold is something we use a lot with horses, but you may have seen there's been a lot of contention about the use of ice in human medicine. And so we thought it'd be good to review the use of cold therapy in horses. So what we're talking about is usually, but not always, the use of cold on legs. And this can be through something as simple as an ice boat or by cold water hosing. And it's not a new idea. The Egyptians appeared to understand that cold was beneficial in certain situations. And going through history, there's been different examples of understanding of the importance of cold. For example, Hippocrates used cold for swelling and pain relief. Monks used cold for pain relief in around 1000 AD. And there was a surgeon, Dr. James Arnott, who used cold for local anesthesia, killing off infected tissue, treatment of acne, neuralgia, and even for headache. And that was in the 1800s. Now, what we're not talking about here, because this would be a totally separate discussion, is whole body cryotherapy. And this is used in people, has become popular in people. It is also used with horses. And we don't know a huge amount about this. There was a paper published a few years ago from a Polish group about the potential use of whole body cryotherapy in horses, and it really, as I say, it's still something we don't know if this is really beneficial. A lot of companies have made a lot of money out of selling these devices, but we really don't have any good data on whether or information on how useful this is. And we're not talking here about the use of cryotherapy in treatment of, for example, warts. So just to be clear, so we're not talking about warts in people, we're not talking about sarcoids in horses. What we are talking about is the use of cold, and this can range anywhere from as low as minus 25 to plus 15. Typically, we're talking, I guess, most commonly in the range sort of minus 5 to plus 5. And we're talking about local application rather than, as we said, whole body. And often we're talking about the lower limbs. And the reason the use of ice in particular has become contentious is because for many years we've been used to this acronym RICE, how to treat or manage acute injuries. So rest, ice, compression, elevation. And this has become a mainstay for many physios and medics and people in different sport. This is how everyone pretty much would treat an acute injury, particularly, for example, an ankle strain. But this all changed. Well, actually, it didn't change. It did change ultimately. But this started with a medic called Gabe Merkin. And he really was the first one who's credited with the development of this RICE acronym. Now, it's not quite as straightforward as that, because there was a paper that was published a year before Gabe Merkin's book, which talked about rest, elevation, application of ice, and compression. It's just that AJ Ryan didn't put it into the acronym RICE. Gabe Merkin did, and Gabe Merkin became famous, or shall we? Maybe we'll see infamous as well. So the publications on RICE didn't really start until the sort of late 90s, but then there's been so many different publications on rest, ice, compression, elevation. And there's also in recent years become a whole anti-RICE campaign. And you see things, why you shouldn't RICE, stop doing this, why RICE is wrong, RICE is outdated, rest, ice, compression debunked. And of course, when we see this, we should always be a little bit suspicious. Now, the anti-RICE, if you like, movement came about from a guy called Gary Reinel. And you can see there, he says in his book, icing is wrong. And what's really interesting is that Gary Reinel isn't a medic. Gary Reinel isn't a scientist. If you look at this, this is talking about Gary Reinel. They call him the anti-ice man. And Gary Reinel, you can read it for yourself, spent nearly 40 years in the sports medicine field. Groundbreaking senior strength building protocol. Authored two previous books. But Gary isn't a medic. Gary isn't a scientist. And what Gary is famous for is developing or being involved in the development of a system called the H-Wave. And H-Wave is what Gary Reinel promoted as an alternative to use in rest, ice, compression, elevation for the management of injuries. Now, that should set alarm bells ringing. There's really only a few papers on the H-Wave and relatively few papers. And Gary Reinel, as you can see, is an author on this one here, which is actually a case report. It's not even a full paper. And again, you can see that Gary Reinel's a minor author on this one, on the H-Wave as well. And this anti-RICE campaign caused Gabe Merkin to effectively retract his recommendation, rest, ice, compression, elevation. And it's a concern, because this appears to be a social media driven rather than a scientific driven, campaign. And it's led to, you know, articles in fairly well-recognized and high-profile journals, such as the Sport Journal. This was a paper from a couple of years ago, The RICE Protocol is a Myth, a Review and Recommendations. And so I kind of have this feeling that the anti-RICE campaign is a bit of a bandwagon. And what I wanted to do was look behind it and see how much evidence is there for anti-RICE, and is it justified, or are we being misled? So the question is, is rice wrong? Well, rest probably actually is wrong. There's an increasing amount of evidence that controlled movement of in certain types of injuries in the early stages, such as ankle sprains, is beneficial to more rapid recovery and return to normal function. And what we did actually on the back of this was Julian Tabor and I asked a group of physios about their use of ice or rice, shall we say, in the use in animal patients. So we asked various questions about how they approached acute injuries and starting with the rest part. And majority said controlled exercise at all stages, or complete rest in the acute stage only, then controlled exercise. Very few now recommended complete rest in beyond the acute stage. So we're happy with rest. Now, the complete rest has not been necessarily a good option. What the next issue is the objections to ice. And these are some of the objections that have been stated over the years. Local vasoconstriction, suppression of inflammatory response, the fact that blood vessels supposedly remain constricted even if ice is removed, rebound vasodilation, that's rebound when the ice is put on, it reduces blood flow. When you take it off, you get a massive dilation of the blood vessels and a huge blood flow. But then also arguments to say it reduces blood flow, and that reduced blood flow leads to tissue death and permanent nerve damage, increased lymphatic permeability, delays to recovery, and that it causes additional tissue damage. And as I say, the area probably that rice has been most investigated in human medicine has been in ankle sprains, and these are graded in severity, and it's a common injury, and therefore not surprising that it's been fairly extensively studied. And this was a paper looking at the evidence for rest ice compression and elevation in the treatment of ankle sprains in adults. It was about 10 years ago. They found 24 eligible trials. This is what's called a systematic review. It's a review in a specific way to look at all the possible evidence. They found that only 11 trials and 868 patients could be included, less than half of the trials. And their conclusion was that there is insufficient evidence available from randomized controlled trials to determine the relative effectiveness of rice. So that's not saying it's good, but it's not saying it's bad either. And here's another one. Basically, this is another paper. This one was more recently, from 2018. The main one here I want to highlight is the second one. Care should be taken with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug usage after an ankle sprain. They may be used to reduce pain and swelling, but uses is not without complication, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories may suppress the natural healing process. And what a lot of people have extrapolated that is really, well, could that be the same in terms of cryotherapy? Because cryotherapy is used to suppress swelling and suppress pain, but may also be having a similar sort of effect as non-steroidals. So here's another paper. This one was 2019. Historically, clinicians have applied the principle of rest ice compression and elevation therapy near universally. However, the evidence supporting this approach is limited. Nonetheless, the use of rice therapy is a reasonable intervention in the acute phase of ankle sprain for short-term symptomatic pain control to facilitate early mobilization. So this is saying rest isn't good, but it's not saying that ice is bad. So we like to say absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So whilst we don't know how effective rice is, or even just cryotherapy. We don't know how effective cryotherapy is. And this is for a number of reasons, because of, for example, poor study design, lack of control groups, different interpretations of rice. Rice sounds as though everyone will be doing it the same. I can promise you they're not. Different methods of cooling, different cooling temperatures, different durations of cooling, different durations of treatment. So it's not just as simple as everyone is doing this in the same way. And why are we using rice? What are we using it for? Are we using it for muscle injuries? Are we using it for muscles post-exercise? Are we using it for tendon ligament injury? Are we using it to cool down tendons, ligaments post-exercise? Are we using it for joint injury or pain? Or are we using it for foot pain? So there's lots of different ways in which potentially cryotherapy could be used. And the shocking thing really is that very few studies have used cryotherapy as the only intervention. It's almost always used alongside other types of intervention, such as compression, elevation, and rest. So RICE was the first, but then all these other acronyms have followed along. So high RICE, PRICE, PRICES, PRINCE, RICER, POLICE. So if we look at these in a little bit more detail, they all involve ice. Ice actually hasn't been thrown out. In fact, if we look at rest, rest hasn't been thrown out. It's only missing in police. If we look at compression, compression is still there in all of these acronyms. And surprisingly, elevation. So actually, all of these new acronyms supposedly that are better than RICE that have been developed, they all still, actually apart from the last one, police, they all involve rest, ice, compression, elevation. So although people are trying to persuade you that RICE is wrong, it's still there. So coming back to human ankles, this is a 2012 paper. Insufficient evidence from randomized controlled trials to determine the relative effectiveness of RICE therapy for acute ankle strains in adults. Treatment decisions must be made on an individual basis, carefully weighing the relative benefits and risks of each option, and must be based on expert opinions and national guidelines. So they're sitting on the fence a little bit. So when it comes to horses, what evidence do we have that cryotherapy, rest, or not rest, ice, compression, elevation, what evidence do we have that the ice part, the cold, the cryotherapy part is beneficial? Well, the interesting thing is if we look at professional endurance racing, whether you like it or not, it is professional, and they have been using ice aggressively for a long time now. It's particularly used in cooling horses in the vet gate. Now, bringing the body temperature down is not just bringing down, it's affecting muscles, it's affecting tendons and ligaments, it's affecting the feet, and they know that ice in the feet is incredibly effective at reducing foot pain and reducing lameness, reducing apparent lameness, and also appears to be incredibly effective at reducing concussive laminitis. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So RICE is a human acronym. Does it apply to horses? Well, the first thing, rest, we know is very difficult to achieve complete rest in horses. Reduced activity is probably what we can aim for. Ice can be used. Compression can be used. I've not seen really good examples of elevation in horses yet. So really, we're stuck with, if we're going to take anything from the RICE acronym, we're stuck with the ice and compression. And, I mean, there is a lot of difference, of course, between horses, dogs, people, but there's a lot of similarities. We've got muscles, we've got tendons, we are loading the ankles, we're loading the fetlock joints, we're loading the knee. So there's a lot of similarity between humans, dogs, horses. The one thing that is striking, of course, with the horse is that we have no muscle below the carpus. We have no muscle, as you can see, at the same level in the hind limb. So the lower limbs of the horse don't actually have muscle. They only have tendon, ligament and bone. And we know that hypothermia, cryotherapy, has an important impact when we're looking at conditions such as laminitis. We know it's an incredibly important part of the management in terms of limiting the severity and also in terms of pain management as well. And there's been a number of papers looking at the effectiveness of different cooling approaches, some of which appear to be more effective than others. So coming back to the survey that Gillian and I ran this year, which was an anonymous survey disseminated via Facebook, it was 95 respondents, all of them completed, very good physios. We asked about qualifications and we found that the majority were animal only qualified, but about 30% human and animal. We found that the majority of these were treating animals only, and we found that the majority, what percentage we asked are, if you treat animals, what percentage are horses? And the majority were treating over 75% were horses. And we then asked, do you recommend cryotherapy as part of the treatment therapy for an injury? And again, probably not surprising, the majority saying yes, but for the acute stage only. Yes, for the acute and subacute stage only. And we asked, do you recommend the use of cryotherapy as part of routine lower limb management? So that's essentially riders putting on cold boots after training or competition. And just over 28% said often, 40% sometimes. And we asked, if you recommend cryotherapy, how do you recommend it's applied? Interestingly, the most common was still cold hosing, followed by cold gel packs, cooling boots from the freezer. Still, surprisingly, few people using cooling machines like Zamar, Game Ready, and some people still recommending clay. They obviously haven't seen that paper I published. We had a few strange responses as well. Damp towel. Depends what I'm treating, I guess, is reasonable. Sea river, if accessible. Spa, ice up massage, spray, and IncrediWear. And, I mean, deep freeze sprays are not very effective. I don't believe that IncrediWear are actually very effective. And as I say, this is the paper where we showed that clay is pretty ineffective. These gels are pretty ineffective. The the water boots, the evaporative cooling boots are pretty ineffective. The most effective is standing in ice and water, by far the most effective, followed by hosing and then sort of ice boots that are cooled down in the freezer. And then this is again interesting because it's part of the problem that we have in that we don't have standardization. You can see that some people recommended using our cryotherapy for only 5 minutes. Some people recommended 25 to 30. And it's fairly almost sort of split between 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20 minutes. So there's no real agreed time limit. So our horse is a special case, and especially when we think about using cryotherapy prophylactically, that's to prevent something happening. Well, if we look at tendon injuries, for example, we know that most tendon injuries are due to cumulative damage rather than a single catastrophic effect. And we've been saying this really for a long time, almost getting on for 20 years. I think owners still tend to believe, excuse me, that tendon injuries are a one-off, isolated, unlucky accident. The evidence points to the fact that they're not. They're down to cumulative damage. And we've started to recognize the role that heat plays in tendon injuries. Tendons are elastic. When they are stretched and released, they produce heat. And we know that tendons get hot because of a study by Alan Wilson, Alan Goodship, quite an old study now, 1994, but not really been repeated. And this was galloping for a short period of time on a treadmill without boots. And you can see that tendon temperatures are second only to the muscle temperatures. And we also know from the same group's subsequent work that if we take tendon cells out and culture them and we expose them to heat, they're actually not very good at tolerating heat. 10 minutes of 45 degrees, then about 10% die. But 10 minutes of 48 degrees C, about 75% of them die. And they concluded, Helen Birch, from this study, repeated hyperthermic, this is high temperature insults, may compromise cell metabolism of matrix components, resulting in tendon central core degeneration. Essentially, that means when the cells are damaged or killed, they release inflammatory mediators, and inflammation weakens the structure of the tendon. Now, people might say, oh yes, but only 10% of the cells in tendon are living. The rest are just structural. Well, that's true. But even if you kill a few percentage or damage a few percentage of those cells, they can generate quite significant inflammation. And a very similar sort of finding from a Japanese group a few years later. Again, a similar sort of thing. As you increase the temperature, then more and more cells die. So the current recommendations for use of local cryotherapy in injured equine tendons and ligaments are very diverse. We saw that actually even from the physios that we questioned. And it's important for us to understand what happens in the tendon when we cool them, because that should give us insight into how long we should be applying cold and what sort of temperature. So, for example, here we have ice water immersion. This is Andres Canep's work. And the surface temperature, not surprisingly, drops very quickly. After about 10 minutes, the superficial digital flexor tendon has reached around sort of 18, 19 degrees from 35, and the deep digital flexor tendon takes around about 20 minutes. So not surprisingly, the tendon that is deeper in the body takes longer to reach that temperature. And you can see on the right-hand side how ineffective the a commercial cold pack was compared to ice water immersion. This is exactly what I found in my study. The cold packs drop the temperature of the skin, surface, but the tendon temperatures hardly change at all. So this is just a waste of time. And this study looked at the Game Ready system. It was actually originally a Cool Systems prototype. This then became Game Ready. And you can see here that around 15 minutes, I believe the temperature was just between 0 and 5 degrees. Yes, you can see that along the bottom here. That's the temperature of the in the cooling splint. And you can see that the tendon temperature dropped from 30 to about sort of 16 in 15 minutes. So one of the other interesting conclusions from this study was that they also looked at tendon cells exposed to cold as low as 10 degrees C for 1 hour. And they found that there wasn't any difference in viability from that of the cells that were maintained at body temperature. So we have to come to the conclusion that tendon cells are much better at coping with cold than they are with heat. And this is a quote from a Veterinary Clinics of North America equine practice on cryotherapy techniques. This was just from last year. In contrast to humans, the equine distal limb is tolerant of prolonged periods of hypothermia with minimal adverse consequences, providing an excellent opportunity for the use of cryotherapy. We should know that from the fact that horses can survive quite well in snow and ice when the ground is frozen and their feet are incredibly cold. They are adapted to that. They tolerate that much better than they do hot sand. Hot desert conditions on the feet. And there's some new things coming in as well, something called contrast therapy, which involves a period of cooling followed by a reversal and a period of heating. And this is a new therapy that was published in 2020 describing how it worked, but as yet I don't believe there are any papers showing its use in treating injuries in horses. And this is another fairly recent equine practice, Veterinary Clinics of North America, and this is by Kyla Ortved, and this is a quote: cryotherapy is effective at decreasing swelling, secondary cellular necrosis, inflammation and pain. The tissue temperature should be maintained at 10 to 19 degrees for 15 to 20 minutes, 2 to 4 times daily to optimize therapeutic effects. So this seems to go all completely against the anti-rest ice compression elevation in human medicine and sport, except that the anti-rice doesn't appear to be anti-ice. Even though Gary Reinel would have you believe that. So in summary, at least anti-ice may not be anti-rice may not be anti-ice. And as we've said, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence of an effect. There's been this huge focus on ankle sprains in human medicine, and they still haven't really come to a conclusion. And the problem is that few of the studies that have investigated local cryotherapy, they've always had other interventions as well. So they haven't been able to isolate out the benefits of ice. Now, from working with horses, we know there is strong evidence to support the use of local cryotherapy in laminitis, including in concussive laminitis. We've got strong empirical evidence to support the use of whole body cooling in endurance, including large muscle groups. It doesn't seem to cause any problems. And it looks like if you want to decrease the deep tissue, DDFT, SDFT temperature, then you're looking at 15 minutes at 5 degrees C external, 0 to 5 degrees external, standing in ice and water really is, or using a circulating coolant system. And we've got good evidence as well that equine tendon cells may be more tolerant to cold than they are to heat. So my conclusion is that we should be using cryotherapy for lower limbs post-exercise in order to help reduce tendon and ligament inflammation and weakening. But we are still waiting for evidence to support that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast and the Stable Science series. If you want to learn more about this topic and our work, head over to the drdavidmarlin.com website. Our website and community of members discuss a wide breadth of topics, and the website houses thousands of articles, webinars, videos and research, all designed to help horse owners, riders, trainers and breeders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. The drdavidmarlin.com site is an independent information resource for all equestrians, a source of unbiased, science-based research. To learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter.